The story of the life of Moses takes up a significant portion of the Old Testament. It's the account of a life that really shaped history in a way much like no other man except Jesus Christ, of course. Moses, a great man of the Old Testament. He was the deliverer of the Hebrew people. He was the recipient of the law. He is a type of Christ in the Old Testament. He is an incredible leader. And from his incredible birth and his boyhood in Egypt to his unique death and burial on Mount Nebo, Moses is a man who was used by God to accomplish great things. And yet, it's a story that wouldn't have lasted one chapter if it wasn't for a loving mother. In Exodus chapter 2, I want you to notice, and I want us to think about this morning, that there was one person who influenced Moses the most in his life at a very young age, and that was his mother. Maybe she's often overlooked, but I want us to look at this story in Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket and made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch, and she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, 'I drew him out of water.'" Jochebed could be known for her ingenuity for the preservation of this child, for this rise of Moses as this prominent man in Egypt. Her faith was responsible for the faith of Moses that he had in God, and even the compassion that he had for God's people as well. And so this morning, I want us to look at how Jochebed influenced her son, because I believe that it is a great illustration for mothers and for parents today on how we can influence our children. Jochebed is not mentioned very often in the scriptures. Maybe she seems to keep a low profile, but she is certainly a wonderful picture of a mother of faith. In fact, we'll see later on that she made the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 that we'll look at in a moment. We know her name was Jochebed from verses like Numbers 26 at verse 59. And Moses became a great man of faith, though, because his parents were people of faith. His father's name was Amram, and mother's name, as I mentioned, Jochebed. They were both from the priestly tribe of Levi. And so they are a people who were committed to the things of God. And as we read this text, we see in this story that Moses had a sister. Moses was actually the third born. He had a sister named Miriam who was older when he was born. And he also had an older brother, Aaron. He was 3 years older at Moses' birth. And so Moses was the baby in the family of three children. But what we see in the story of Scripture is that all three of these children grow up to be leaders for God. When you think about the history of what's taking place here, the nation of Israel had been in Egyptian bondage for almost 400 years. Or they'd been in Egypt for almost 400 years. But because they grew and they prospered, they began to be a threat to the reigning Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh, you read in chapter 1, begins to force them into labor. And by the sweat of their brow and in working hard, cities were built. Pharaoh hoped that he would break their backs, but It didn't work. They continued to grow. They continued to prosper. And so at the end of chapter 1, we see where Pharaoh decides he's going to turn the heat up a little bit more. He's going to take care of these Hebrews once and for all. And so he commands the Hebrew midwives to murder the newborn sons of the Hebrews as they were giving birth. Well, we read in the first chapter of chapter 1 that they weren't really doing that. And the reason why the midwives weren't doing that is because they feared God more than Pharaoh. And so then Pharaoh decides, well, here's what I'll do. He told his people, stay on the lookout for Hebrew babies. And if they saw one, they were to throw that baby boy into the Nile and watch him drown. So just think for a moment. What a time of terror that would have been to have a child. This is when Jochebed became pregnant with Moses. She's maybe perhaps, of course, not worried with this circumstance with Aaron and Miriam. But this child in her womb would be fair game for Pharaoh. And of course, she's concerned about that. I mean, can you imagine living in such fear? When I think about those times and the fear that Jochebed has as a mother, I think about our mothers today. And while we may not have the lives of our children and newborn babies on the line with threats of murder, it can be a difficult time right now to have children. Kids might be drowned in the river of violence or in the river of immorality that has plagued our society today. They can drown in a sea of confusion where lines have been blurred between what is right and what is wrong, what God accepts and what God condemns. They can drown even in this competitive culture that we live in where everybody is driven by performance and rewards, and that at times might seem to be more important even than a child's character. And so every parent is aware that this can be a dangerous time to grow up in this world. And it is a dangerous world in which Jochebed is bringing her baby boy into this world. She stands out because what she did to save her child. And we'll see at the end of the story, when there was nothing more that she could do, she depended solely upon God and the faithfulness of God. Now, and I think one of the things that we see here is that what gave her this faith and what gave her this courage, because I want us to think right at the very beginning that Jochebed was a woman of courage. And what gave her this courage is that she was more concerned about pleasing God and she was more fearful of God than she was Pharaoh. She was going to trust in God. Amram and Jochebed decided that that's the way they were going to live their lives. They were going to be obedient to the commands of God, even in the midst of threatening circumstances, trusting that whatever would come, God would take care of them. And as I mentioned, at the very end of Exodus chapter 1, we read where Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. And so while Pharaoh is trying to stop the population explosion of the Hebrews among the slaves, it threatened him so much. As I mentioned, this is a time of danger. Lives are threatened, which is much different than the way that we bring children into the world. It's a time of excitement. It's a time of joy. And while there are things that we're concerned about where it comes health-wise and those types of things, I want you to put yourself in Jochebed's shoes for a moment. This is a terrifying moment. Not much excitement here. It's a time of heavy heartbreak, in a sense. And we read in this story that once Moses is born, the parents hide this fine child, or as Hebrews chapter 11 says, they saw the child was beautiful. They hid this child for 3 months. And I think that's interesting. It says, well, they saw the child was fine, or the child was beautiful. And we're like, well, of course. I mean, we all think, regardless of how our children come out, and we're going to say, that's the most beautiful baby we've ever seen, right? I mean, that's the way we're going to respond to that. But there was something about Moses, it seems to me, that Jochebed and Amram knew that this child is special. I'm not sure how maybe that was revealed to them, but they knew that he was going to grow up to make a difference for God. They knew that we have to do whatever is necessary to keep this child alive, because they knew that if Pharaoh or if the Egyptians found out about this baby boy, he would not live to see the sunrise on that next day. And so think about the difficulty of hiding a newborn baby for 3 months. Now, if you've had a newborn baby at home, you know how difficult that is. And this, as I said, is a dangerous time for these parents. I remember bringing our girls home, and maybe more specifically, Audrey, the first one coming along. She loves when I mention her now. She's at that age. The first one coming along, we were so excited, and we finally were able to leave the hospital, and we go home, and Sarah and I, and we get comfortable, and we're going to do this routine, and we're going to put her down at this certain time, and then she decides to be up all night long. And then, you know, the next day comes along, and you're dragging on sleep, and you say, well, tonight's going to be the night. You lay her down. Well, guess what? The next night, she's up all night, night in and night out for a long time. She never slept. And it wasn't that she was just up, just making, you know, cute little coos. I mean, she could scream and cry with the best of them. And so when I think about what Jochebed had to do here, that is impressive. I don't know how they're hiding this baby for 3 months, but that's what they're doing. They're hiding this child because they held him in such high esteem. Now, I want us to stop here, though. I think it's important for us to make an application about this, of how the parents of Moses knew the value and worth of that baby. We live in a time today where children are not valued. We live in a society that will rip an unborn child out of the mother's womb and call that a choice when the Bible calls it murder. And I think we need to stop and grasp the fact that every child, every baby is valuable to God. And we might in our society value the brilliant, those with high intellectual capabilities, or those with great athleticism. But we need to understand that every child, regardless of whatever mental capabilities they have or incapabilities or disabilities that they might have, every child is precious and valuable to God. And it's important for us even to grasp that with our children, they may not be the brightest. They may not be able to hit a three-pointer, or they might not be able to throw a baseball really well, but they are still valuable to God. And it's important. It's important for parents. I think it's important for mothers, as we're talking about today, to draw out whatever gift of personality God has given them and to let that child know that they are valuable to God. I think about Psalm 139. I think about what David writes in Psalm 139 at verse 16. Psalm 139, actually verse 13. I'll read through 16. Psalm 139 at verse 13. David says this, Psalm 139 at verse 13, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." You know, when we read this passage, we realize just how valuable every individual is to God, that we are God's creation. And our children need to hear this as well, that we were formed by God, that we are made by God, and that God has created us for a purpose of honoring and glorifying Him. And we can tell our children that regardless of whatever capabilities that they have, that they are important to God. Jochebed valued Moses, and Amram valued Moses. And so the story goes that because they understood the value of that child, they devised a plan. So I want us to think about this idea of Jochebed having a plan. It got to the point to where they could keep him quiet no longer. Maybe the soldiers were making some checks, or maybe some of the midwives were spying to check on the birth. Maybe there were some around who they feared for their own life, and so they knew that they might have to tell and report it as well, just to keep themselves alive. So after this 3 months, they decided, we have got to come up with a plan. And you can't help but be impressed with Jochebed and Amram. They were not only people of faith, but they're people of faith with a plan. So with great care, they mixed together some kind of substance, maybe something like asphalt or tar, and they coated this little wicker basket until it was tight. And can't you see, Jochebed just really putting some cushion down in there, some soft cloth or something, just so she can lay the baby down in there. And reluctantly, I imagine, she placed the baby inside that, then sealing it up so he couldn't drown. And then she sat it among the reeds of the river. Now, we might read that story, and I think about reading that story when I was younger, just think that, well, Jochebed, she makes this little basket for Moses, and then she just decides, okay, Moses, I can't hide you any longer, and she just drops him in the Nile and gives him a push and says, there you go. Hope it works out for you. But that's not what she does. It says she placed him among the reeds of the banks of the Nile. Now, I've never been to the Nile, but I have seen those reeds before. And you know how strong and sturdy those plants can be. And so it's obvious that she's putting him in a place that she feels it's a special place. It's a place where he can be secured. So she didn't just shove him out and say, have a good trip. She, in a very special way, placed him where she knew that the king's daughter was going to come to bathe. And so she had a plan. And that's what I want us to grasp. She had a plan that she came up with. She knew that Pharaoh's daughter would carry a lot of clout in the court of Pharaoh. And she was hoping that this daughter would find her child and he would be adopted by her. Now, I imagine that Jochebed took Miriam aside and rehearsed all of this and said, here's my plan. Here's how I hope it plays out. And look, when you make sure you don't come too early, make sure you don't come too soon. Here's what to say. Here's how you say it. Look surprised, you know, make it look spontaneous. I'll be waiting. I'll be praying. And it was this careful plan that was carried out to the last detail. And there's an application in there for us. Because there might be this attitude today that just says, well, just trust in God. Just trust in God. And God works out all things for those who love him. And I don't really need much of a plan. I'm just going to trust in God and see what happens. But as we'll see in Hebrews chapter 11, as we go through all that list of individuals listed in that chapter, faith always took action. With faith, there is obedience. Real faith is an active thing. And so the application that I want us to make this morning is for us as parents. If I want my children to grow up, to know God, to follow God, and to live according to his word, we as parents must have a plan for that. And so I think it's important for us to ask ourselves that this morning. Not just mothers, but fathers alike. What are we going to do to assure that our children are not influenced in Egypt? I mean, we can't just say, well, I'm just going to trust my child just to make the right decisions. I'm just going to let it go and just let God, you just trust in God that everything will work out. We must take an active role and have a plan for our children, because for our children at our age, even now, there are plenty of Pharaoh's daughters out there that are willing to influence our children. Plenty of Pharaoh's daughters out there that will try to influence our children in the way of Egypt. And so we must plan on how we're going to teach them the word of God and not the philosophy of this world. Our goal as parents is for them to survive and thrive spiritually. And if they're going to do that in our world, we must plan. We must wrap them securely in God's word and pray for them every day. We must talk about God when they get up, as they're lying down, as we walk by the way, as Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We must teach them the way of God now. Pray for them. What kind of prayers do we have for our children? What do we allow them to read? What kind of influence are we making? What kind of plan? So have we prepared for them for life in this world? Jochebed took a risk, a calculated risk, and it paid off. So where she placed the baby, Pharaoh's daughter, as we read in Exodus chapter 2, of course, she comes down to bathe and she saw the baby. She saw the basket. She opened it up and she saw the baby and she had compassion, or she had pity on him. I think we might miss this if we didn't just think about Jochebed for just a moment. I don't know where she's standing here, but I imagine she is very concerned at this moment about what's going to happen next. Maybe pacing back and forth. What is going to happen? When am I going to hear from Miriam? Or maybe she's standing on somewhere where she's just on her tiptoes, trying to get a glimpse of what is happening with my child. I mean, can't you just feel what Jochebed felt at this moment? She had no proof that the woman would just not take the baby and just plunge the baby into the water and drown him right there. But she trusted in God to give that Egyptian woman the heart of a mother. And Pharaoh's daughter knew immediately that this was a Hebrew child. She had pity on him. And so maybe Jochebed motions to Miriam, it's time to make your move. And Miriam comes running up and she said, would you like me to get a Hebrew woman for you to help nurse the baby? She was going to go and get her mother, and she did just as she had been trained. And she said, I know just the one. I promise I'll be right back. And so she hurries and she calls her mother. And maybe Jochebed's just for, I got to wait just a moment. I can't look too eager. But she straightened her robe. She wiped off the tears streaming down her face. And she headed towards Pharaoh's daughter. And she said, take this baby and nurse this baby. And I'll pay you. How's that sound, moms? You know, every parent and every mother, I think, understands those moments where we must act in faith but trust in God. And that's what Jochebed did. And throughout this entire story, Moses continued to be in God's care, in God's provision. And so as the story goes, let me continue on here. As the story goes, Jochebed was allowed to nurse and to be with her child. But eventually, she had to let him loose. And Jochebed was willing to let go. In verse 10 of the story, when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. And she named him Moses because he was drawn out of water. So when the time came, Jochebed had to take baby Moses to the gates of the castle, to Pharaoh's house, and give that child over. And I'm imagining that Jochebed is hoping, praying at that moment, that I've done and I've said everything that I could do to prepare this child. And as we read in the life of Moses, can't help but think about how he was influenced by his mother. Because it's from mothers, godly mothers, that we really learn the important values of unselfish love, of sacrificial love. I woke Charlotte up this morning. I said, it's Mother's Day, Charlotte. And she rolled over and said, did Mom make pancakes? Children learn they learn sacrificial love, genuine, true love. It's a mother who makes those sacrifices day in and day out. And Jochebed is just hoping that he's taken all of this in. Well, that had to be a hard moment for her to drop that baby off. I imagine there were prayers said, that last prayer offered, in concern for what would happen next to him. But she was willing to let go. And the application for us today as parents is, as David says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. You know, our children that God has blessed us with have been created by God to make an impact on this world, to glorify God in such a way that they leave the walls of our home and they go out and they make a difference for God. And at some point, parents, we have to do that. And it's not an easy thing for us to do. I know there's some of you who, some graduates and maybe leaving for college. And if it's not happened this year, it'll happen next year. Or some of you have done that in the few years past. And you know what that's like, to see that child walk out the door and to know that you've trained and you've taught and you've influenced them as much as you can. But at some point, you give up that parental control. I mean, from the day they were born, you were in charge of them. You were responsible for them. You were their provision. You were their protection. We have shielded them. We've prayed for them. We've agonized over decisions that we've made for them. We've fought for them. It's difficult to let go as a parent. But as parents, that's what we must do. And I want to close by looking at Hebrews chapter 11 and just notice that because Jochebed was willing to let go and release Moses, here's what happened. In Hebrews chapter 11, notice in verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 11, at verse 23, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." Jochebed had an influence on Moses. And mothers, your influence is going to be felt on the lives of your children for years to come. And there are, as I said, there are many Pharaoh's daughters who are going to try to claim them and influence them. But it is up to mothers, it is up to fathers for us to train them in the way that they should go. I'll close by just mentioning how women play a prominent role in this story in the life of Moses, where Jochebed, of course, saw that Moses was fine or beautiful. And Pharaoh's daughter saw the basket, saw the child crying and had pity on him. But then later on in chapter 2, we see an interesting thing about what it says about God, that God saw the sons of Israel. God noticed, God took notice of them. And it was God's instincts which caused him to move to take care of his people, to save his people. And it was God who took the step to see us in our sin, and be willing to deliver up his son to get us out of our utterly helpless estate through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. As Joel said this morning, what an amazing, loving God that we serve. If we can help you respond to God and the gospel this morning, please let us know while we stand and sing.